The reading today is at Matthew 6, reading just from three verses here from Matthew 6, reading regarding prayer. Sorry, the little clip's broken. Is it sounding? Yes, I know. Is that okay? Hear me okay? They're good? Yeah, wonderful. Let's read Matthew 6, reading from verse 5. It'll be up in the overhead. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning about prayer. And as we talk about this particularly important topic, it's something that is part of your first words to those that gathered together and said, Lord, what are we to do? So we pray today, Lord, as we say, what are we to do regarding prayer? That you speak to us and reveal new things from your word to us about the way it is that we should pray. Thank you, Father. Amen. Complete bit of trivia for the morning to start with. You may have seen the construction firm around town, HRS. Anybody seen that around at all? It's three letters. I think they're black letters with a green background on the left-hand side. And HRS stands for Hughes Rees Sarah, and I worked with a guy called Robin Hughes many years ago. And so him and, I don't know Rees or Sarah, but the three of them got together to form this construction company. And over time they've gone from being three guys who were working together and decided to combine their efforts. We often see the power of three, you know, the cord of three strands is not easily broken, the word says. These guys got together, and as they did, they discovered that by combining their resources and putting all three things together, that a much stronger company was built as a result. And I don't know, has anybody else seen this? Maybe I just noticed it because I know one of the guys. Someone seen it? Yeah, if you're in construction, you see the HRS. These three letters I want to use today to represent the importance of these three things coming together. Not the three in this construction company, but three things that come together in the way that we should pray. Forming the letters HRS, hypocrisy or lack of it, the reward and the way that prayer should be done in secret. And it's important to understand that God who made us and says, this is the way I want us to communicate together. And if we understand that the early Christians who were meeting together and Jesus was giving instruction on the Sermon of the Mount, God could have chosen any way at all for us to communicate with him. And he has chosen that we pray and chosen the way that we pray. Now, I would like to say that if we don't obey all of these things all at once, that our prayers aren't heard. But if God who made us said, this is the way that I'd love you to talk with me, this is the way that I want you to do it, then we'd do well to learn today about these three areas particularly that are spoken in this passage. And I'll start with the S actually, which is in secret because it goes back historically. In verse 6 it says, when you pray, go to your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Now I used to read that and said, well, I need to go to a secret place. It says, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. There seems to be a sense there of finding out where God is in the secret place and finding him there and praying to him there. What this refers to is a time in the past where people were desperate in prayer and they needed to go to God and say, God, deliver us from what is going on there. And this is found actually in Isaiah 45, verse 2 to 6, which I think will come up shortly. And it says here at the start of Isaiah, this is a part where Isaiah is speaking about the future captivity of Israel and what will happen and who will deliver them. And it says, so I say before you, this is to a desperate people when they are reading the words of Isaiah many years later, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. The context here was a group of people that had been taken captivity and were looking for their deliverance. Who would come and deliver us? How is it going to be for us? We seem to be in this desperate place of captivity. And God was saying, in the secret places, I will give you treasures of darkness. Sounds like a bit of an anomaly or a contradiction of terms, treasures and darkness. Yet a number of times if we explore that phrase, the treasures of darkness, this is something that is found by going to God and finding him in the secret place. And often it's only found in desperation. And I wouldn't want to say to you today that a large percentage of our prayers should be out of desperation, but I think certainly some of them should be. We may have got to the end of ourselves. We may be seeing lack of fruit in a particular ministry area and wondering, what is going on? What is the story? And we get to a desperate place before God and we find in this treasures of darkness, in the secret place, deliverance and a way forward. Imagine if you could, a group of people that have been taken away captivity and being told who would deliver them. Isaiah 44 at the very end, it says here, it says, from verse 24, it says, thus says the Lord, and it was talking about the Redeemer in the future, the Jesus that we know and love, but also the Redeemer and the Deliverer of their time of captivity. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the sign of Babylon and drives diviners mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built. And I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid. Now it's not overly clear from just that one passage, but building up to that, people were looking for their deliverer, and the deliverer's name was given was Cyrus. The problem was when they first went into captivity and read that and were praying those desperate, desperate prayers, Cyrus wasn't even born. And he wouldn't be born for another 100 years. So the time of captivity and the person who was involved in their release, their redeemer for the time, Cyrus, wasn't even born. I just mention this because sometimes we go to God in desperation in those secret places because of what's going on. And he said, there will be deliverance, but it will be some time away. And there is a faithfulness. There is something that is built in that secret place. There's contrast from the passage when Jesus said, those already have their reward who stand on the street corners and love to be seen for praying. Love to be seen maybe praying very magnanimous prayers, very triumphant prayers maybe, very prosperous prayers, and that will all be relevant, but the prayer that is to be done is in the secret place. And it may well be the desperation that we feel or that we've come with this morning is something that God wants to deal with in that secret place. The deliverance is there. It may be some way away, but it will be revealed. So the S for prayer is that secret place that God wants us to find him. The second one I want to come back and work back is reward, because we see in Matthew 6 three things that are important: giving, prayer, and fasting. We're in the middle of those three now. The one is prayer today, but all three of them talk about the importance of reward. There seems to be a reward that's given to us for the prayers that we pray. And back in Matthew, we see here in the passage, it talks clearly that there is something about what is done in secret, God will reward openly in due course. And says here, those that also pray publicly and receive the reward and adulation of men already have their reward. Incredibly, even in the church, while there's so many warnings about a future reward, we see those that want to have it now. Even those that are called shepherds of the sheep and are called church leaders are looking for the reward now from men. And so many times. And so if you are wondering, when will I get my reward? The Lord clearly says that as a result of prayer, something that is done in secret will be rewarded openly. I didn't so much touch on reward last week when we're talking about giving. And maybe it won't so much touch when we talk about fasting, but there was something about a future reward for something that is done in secret. Not that it's necessarily something that would motivate us, but this is the way that God would desire to do it. Those hearers in heaven may well be those in prayer, those who are nobodies as far as the wider church knowledge is concerned. We don't know of these people. It'll be amazing to understand those who are awarded openly because of the works they did in secret. And by the works, I mean the giving, the prayer, and the fasting that went on there. So I can only reiterate there's something specific about reward that is done as a result of being obedient to the way we pray. Again, done in secret. And lastly, I want to speak about hypocrisy. It's a great line that's often levelled at the church. The church is full of hypocrites. And of course, the person who often says that may well indeed themselves be one. But it's a very easy target, or where an easy target is the church. Full of hypocrites, full of hypocrisy. And that may or may not be levelled fairly to any one of us or the church in general. Here's an area of hypocrisy, and I think it's one of the first times this is mentioned. Also mentioned in Matthew 5. Hypocrisy means, the word hyper of course means under, hypodermic and other means under the skin, but hypocrisy means under acting. In other words, we're not able to act to the level of the challenge that comes before us. So a hypocrite is someone who underacts, who isn't able to take the position that needs to be taken or the stand, or doesn't have the character to be able to say, this is not what I will do. The statement has been made, the declaration of faith, the profession of what it is, the way in which the Christian life in this case is lived. But a hypocrite is not able to stand in that and underacts. I was saying to Sandra this week that we have a name. The word Hippocrates was also used of the word actors. It's a profession that we have today. And acting was meant that you acted in a different way for each situation that presented itself. Not quite hypocrisy in the way that we understand it, but an actor was known as the word Hippocrates because they were able to act as the situation demanded it. And of course, they're paid to do that, and that's their profession. But when we are hypocrites, we act in that way. And so this relates to much more than just prayer. But it's important to understand what's behind that. There's also something about prayer that works against hypocrisy. As we're saying, Lord, I don't want to be that hypocrite that prays publicly or does something publicly and is rewarded in a way that is before men and not before you. How is it that you can help me to live my Christian life in a way that accords or lines up so that I'm not underacting? And I just feel this morning, as we close, to ask us all to think about the last time that we were a hypocrite. Hard as that sounds to actually bring forth from our memories, but when was the last time that you're aware that you didn't do something that you said that you believed? It may have been an action, a word, or a deed, or something that you've done, or even a thought that you've had this week. Or it may be much further back than that. There's something about hypocrisy that really is a barrier, and is a challenge, and is a negative witness or a poor testimony to what it is that we believe. Very difficult as I think about my times of hypocrisy in the last week and thinking, even as I'm doing it, what is it about me that actually knows the right thing to do or say? And most of the times, it's not said at all. And I stand before you and say, I'm a hypocrite. And I'm one of those people and represent, sadly, I don't represent well, but sometimes I don't represent well, the church that desires to be anything other than hypocritic or hypocritical. But when I underact as the situation would deserve it, then this is the hypocrisy that's talked about here. And I feel to ask us this morning, as we think about times that we may have been hypocritical, we have underacted in the area of prayer and others, and this is a time this morning where we say, we want to make that one step in that one direction. The reason I feel to say that this morning is that sometimes there's areas where we are regularly hypocritical, which I think is a step on from situations where we randomly are hypocritical. In other words, we always underact. We are regularly in this place where we say, this is not according with what I profess to be right as a believer. And so we're going to finish this morning, just as the musicians come up and play with the timers, just as maybe the music's playing quietly, where I just want to lead us in a prayer that we'll pick on one thing and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. What might be that area of ongoing hypocrisy? Broader than just in prayer, that we talk about prayer this morning, that we might hand over. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you to your words just about the way in which we should pray. Finding you in that secret place. Being aware of the reward that you'll give us. But Lord, in this area of hypocrisy, there is something that you want to say to us. And I believe it's wider than just prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask you would put your hand on that area where we are not living with what we say, where we are underacting according to what we profess. We've become, as it were, actors that respond to whoever is paying us at the time. Not just financially, but paying us respect, paying us adoration. And Father, we know that this means there is no distinction between us and the world. We confess this before you. This is opportunity for witness and testimony. And we're often choking at the pass. So Holy Spirit, we just ask this morning as you put your finger on that area where we've struggled with time and time again, and often it's not something that we do necessarily, it may be what we don't do. But whether it's an act of commission or omission, we are acting differently. We are doing differently to what we know we believe. Lord, you never said, in fact, you, as I mentioned in communion, you promised the journey would be difficult, steep, narrow, words like that. And we're called to this, Lord, as followers of you. And sometimes the steep times or the narrow times are when we're there and someone says something and we know that it's opportune time for us to say something or to respectfully disagree or to act in such a way according to our beliefs. So Lord, in this area of hypocrisy, which is much broader than just prayer, we ask you would be with us this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And again, just to end the service, if you'd like to come and receive prayer about this or anything else, please do so when we finish the last song. Thank